Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Nick Stanna, who is the owner and founder of Grandway Marketing, which is a leading digital marketing agency in Halifax, Canada, specializing in web design and SEO. Among other recognitions, Grandway Marketing has been recognized as the top three web design companies in Halifax in 2021 and 2022. And Nick was also featured in the top 30 under 30 entrepreneurs in Atlantic Business Magazine in 2021. So today we're going to be discussing Nick's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Nick.
Thank you for having me, Julie. It's my pleasure.
So great. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
What inspires me? It changes over time as you grow and you grow. But initially, I would say it was just being my own boss, living on my own terms, and just trying to create something of my own, rather than working for somebody else. I've never had a good track record of enjoying jobs. I was always a person that looks at the clock and waits for the day to end type of thing. So I knew I had to do something else, and that was my initial motivation. And obviously, you know, as an entrepreneur, you don't have a cap on how much opportunity you can create for yourself, how much money you can create. So that was initially what it was. And then as you grow, you kind of, what motivates me is the impact we make on our clients and just seeing them go through their business journeys and achieve success and us contributing to that. So that's kind of like the main driver now, rather than, you know, just being your own boss and making your own money type of thing.
I love it. Yeah, it's such a rewarding challenge. You know, you're the one in the driver's seat. You're the one who can control, you know, how successful you are at the end of the day and what kind of company you're creating. And then, of course, you know, it's so rewarding when you're able to help small business owners just help grow their businesses. So I shouldn't just say small businesses, but businesses of all sizes. So I can completely relate to that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a very rewarding journey.
Awesome. Nick, so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
It's a bit of a long story, but to put it short, I always was pretty okay on computers and could learn software fast. And while I was in college, I was always looking for side hustles and ways to make money other than a job. And I had a few friends that were artists and they were into music. So what I started doing is making the event covers for different type of music events. And then they asked me to do websites. So I started doing a couple of those. The first website I did, or one of the first websites I did, was a friend of mine was a manager for a restaurant and they needed a website. And then the next website was a company I used to work for. They needed a website. So I kind of stumbled on it. And then I realized there's an opportunity here. And that's kind of, I didn't go to school for it or anything like that. I was in college for something completely unrelated.
Okay.
And so I kind of just stumbled upon it and I found some passion in it. And I could sit there for hours on end and build websites and do event covers. And that's kind of how it all got started.
You just kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And then, so what was the, you know, deciding factor to really, you know, take the plunge, start an agency and start Grandway Marketing?
Well, what happened, I graduated college and I realized during college that I didn't really have a passion for what I had taken, and I didn't want to follow that career path. So there was about a year or so I didn't know what I was doing. And then I knew one of my weakest points was sales. So I took a sales job for about a year. I learned as much as I could. And in the meantime, I was planning my escape, so to speak. And then in 2017, I registered a company, quit my job, and that it was history from there on end.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that you know, recognized that sales wasn't one of your strengths and then purposefully worked on that. So tell us a little bit, you know, so what did you learn from taking that job working in sales?
It was mostly a comfort zone type of thing because it was cold call sales. And I knew that was going to be my strategy when I start the company. If I use my network and if I use my connections and word of mouth, it'll be too slow before I make a good income. So I need something to move quickly. And I knew I didn't have the comfort to cold call people, and I knew I couldn't develop that on my own. I kind of tried. And sometimes you need something to push you other than yourself. So I took that job, and you know, it's a job. You show up and they put you in front of the phone. Here's a computer. Here's a phone. This is the script. Start doing it.
Yeah. I love that.
And within like 2-3 months, I started getting really comfortable. And then I was one of the top performers there before I left. So once I started getting comfortable, with the idea, I was like, okay, I can probably do this for myself now. And, you know, sell something I truly believe in, something that I have control over.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the path there.
That's so interesting. And then, so is cold calling still a tool that you guys use to bring in more leads into your agency?
It is. It's become one of the smaller parts of it, but at the beginning it was 100% the main way. Now it counts for maybe 20% of sales or so. So it's still a big part of it.
Okay. And for anyone who's considering doing cold calling as a way to bring in more leads into their agency, can you recommend anything, or do you have any tips for someone who's interested in cold calling?
I think just being kind of being human and not being so scripted. That would probably be my main tip, because I get cold calls all the time and they all sound scripted and kind of phony, and you can feel the person doesn't believe in themselves or the company, or you can just feel something's off. So I feel like getting your energy right when you make cold calls is everything.
Ooh, that's so true. I love that. That's a great tip.
And also it's another thing. There's, when you do cold calls, you're either going to encounter people that get pissed off at you about it, and people that respect you for it.
Yeah.
There's not really in between. It's either one or the other.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then, so do you have any tips for getting past the gatekeeper to the decision maker?
Act like you know the decision maker. Always know their name. You definitely don't want to call and say, can I speak with the marketing manager or the owner? Because they immediately know you're a cold caller trying to sell something, and they'll shut you down, because that's their job, is to protect the time of the CEO, right?
Right. Okay.
So, you know, I would just call as, hey, is Julia there? Or, hey, I want to speak with Julia, please. You say it just like they were your friend.
Yeah. Interesting.
A lot of the times they'll just patch you right through without, you know, it's kind of like you exude more authority than them. So then they don't want to play around, because you might be the boss's friend, and then kind of just get through.
They don't want to get in trouble.
That works.
Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so what are some other ways that you bring leads into your agency now to grow Grandway Marketing?
SEO is a big one. So ever since we've been ranking for the keywords, that was a huge, for the past 2 years, that's been probably the main lead generator. We did Facebook ads a couple of years ago, and they were very, very successful for a couple of months, and then they weren't. Google Ads was never really profitable. So I think right now it's SEO for sure, and just word of mouth and referrals. Like, we have so many happy clients.
Yeah.
And I would say Actually, that's probably bigger than SEO. A lot of people just come to us and you don't know where they come from. So you almost guess that it's been word of mouth or through a referral.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
That's, yeah, so I think it's word of mouth / referrals, then it's SEO, and then it's cold calls.
Interesting. Okay. And what are some ways that you help create happy clients who are, you know, going to be your cheerleaders and going to talk about you and help bring in those referrals down the road?
So I know this one's kind of cliche to say, and a lot of people, on every episode I've listened to viewers, communication is, everybody always says communication. It's because it's true. Without communication, you can't build rapport. You can't figure out what the objectives are, what the client is really looking to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't keep the project going. You can't keep the momentum going. Communication is everything, and doing communication right is definitely number one. But then identifying what those objectives are, whether it's they want more leads or they want to save time or whatever the objective might be, is figuring that out is very important, because it's easy to think that every business just wants more money, whereas they could have plenty of money. They just have issues that are consuming their employees and is just not running efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe and they want more website, time.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to figure out what it is that they actually want and then cater the services towards that.
Right.
And then making sure that they get the results they want and fine-tuning and tweaking whatever it needs to do so they get a return, or, you know what I mean? Just making it worth it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think communication and then identifying and achieving their goals and objectives.
Okay. Yeah, I think those are really great tips. And then, so do you guys ever get, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners who are shopping around for different agencies and looking for, you know, quotes from you guys?
Yeah, we do.
So are there any ways that you help to kind of, you know, just stand apart from other agencies to, you know, win their business at the end of the day?
Definitely. So I think in the initial call, when I talk to somebody, I don't try to be extra salesy. I don't talk in technical terms. A lot of those technical terms, I'm not from that background. So even though I know these terms now, I still don't talk in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of talk like a regular business owner. So, you know, and I would say I'm pretty honest and transparent, and they can kind of feel that, they can get that vibe pretty much right away.
Mm-hmm.
So they know I'm not pushing something that they don't want. And, you know, when I give them a quote, we have all our pricing on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rarely that I actually try to push the most expensive option, because the most expensive option is for very few people. Most clients fall somewhere in the cheaper one or the middle ones. And the fact that I'm not trying to sell them as much as possible kind of builds rapport that way. And then another thing we do, you know, once I get off the phone with them, we send them a quote. I send them a link to our website. We have a huge variety of projects we've done, lots of reviews right on the website. I have a couple of video reviews. So it's just a lot of social proof.
Mm-hmm.
That we say, yeah, that we do what we say we're going to do, and we stand behind the work we do. And I think that's definitely been a huge proponent of it. As well as, I noticed a lot of our competitors, they don't have their team on their website. They don't have any faces or anything like that. And that kind of, it would scare me off, because it's like, who are these people? Are they going to build me a crappy website and disappear? So the fact that we're like super transparent, the prices are there, our portfolio is there, the reviews are there, I'm there. You know what I mean? Like, everything is up on the table. So there's nothing, we're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps as well.
I love that. Yeah, that's such a great point. Because yeah, when you can be, you know, personable, and, you know, the person already has an idea in their mind of who they're going to be speaking with, it just, yeah, it's definitely really powerful.
Definitely.
Okay. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Grandway Marketing?
I think that's been the challenge in itself, is growing the company. And I'm still working on it, and I'm improving at it, and we're definitely figuring things out. But it's a balance between having too many, making too many sales, and now you have to hire more people and find skilled people to do it, onboard them quickly, and then next month or 2 months from now, sales kind of drop.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? Do you get rid of, you know what I mean, the employees? So I feel like that's kind of the biggest challenge, was trying to find a balance between the amount of work we have and the amount of people we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely growing it, I would say, is the definitely the biggest challenge, and trying to find the balance of how can we have a steady amount of sales and workload.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can match the right amount of people to that.
What is your stance on hiring, you know, full-time employees versus, you know, hiring freelancers to do contract work?
I prefer hiring full-time, but there's the challenge with that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as a small web design business, we don't have huge contracts of millions and millions of dollars. So I can't guarantee somebody a job always. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
But I would prefer that, because then you have, you know, you kind of win their loyalty, because you're paying them enough that they know they have a solid income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
They can take care of their family. They can do whatever they want to do. Whereas if you're hiring people part-time, they might just bounce around and go to another company.
Yeah. And you've got a little bit more control over, you know, them prioritizing you versus if they have, you know, lots of other, agencies that they're working with, you know, they might not be prioritizing your work and working within the time frame that you were hoping for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in the long term, I would love to have a bigger team of full-time employees, because then you can create a culture around your brand.
Yes.
And then it just becomes bigger than yourself. It becomes bigger than just your company. Then you're really making a difference in more people's lives. You're helping more clients. Your employees are, you know, taking care of their families, and we're all a team and we're doing things together. That's really the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do that, because you have to have enough work steady all the time to be able to, you know, you have 40 hours, you have 40 hours, everybody gets 40 hours or what have you. The benefit of hiring freelancers is that you don't have the commitment of having, you know, it's, I have a job now and I might have a job for you again in 2 weeks or 2 months. And you're not committed to paying them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But with that comes, like you said, they're working with other agencies as well. So, you know, I could have a new client and then you reach out to one of your freelancers and they're like, hey, I'm too busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely a balancing act for sure.
And it's hard too, because I feel like you said, it's control too, not to sound controlling, but when you hire somebody full time, you know, it's them that's doing the work. You know, they're using your process because they're there and they're following what you tell them and they're physically there, or,
yes,
you know, virtually there. They're, you know, they're committed to this job and they're doing it. Whereas with freelancers, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, you hire a freelancer and that freelancer is hiring a freelancer. Like there's sketchy things going on. And that's kind of what scares me about freelancing, because, you know, it's just hard vetting people.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you see Grandway Marketing in 5 years' time? What are your goals for the company?
I would definitely love to see a bigger team and really just build a team culture and just become much bigger than myself, to the point where I can almost remove myself from the company and it has a life of its own.
Yes.
And the people that are in it give it that life, and it's not me having to pull all the strings, you know what I mean, and tick all the boxes. Having a core team that's doing that stuff and just seeing it grow on its own and thrive on its own, rather than me having to push all the time.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. That's the dream, right? When the company can just, like a machine, the machine runs itself.
Yeah. And I mean, I would still put a million hours a week. Absolutely. Like, it's not like I would just go on vacation and let everybody work themselves like horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see it have a life of its own.
Yeah, and just build that culture.
Exactly.
Yeah, very cool. Well, that's very exciting to work towards.
Definitely.
So we're getting ready to move on to the fast five here in just a moment. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you. But do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
As from an agency point of view, I would think I would say not to look for the huge jobs right away. I think a lot of people are looking, you know, to land huge contracts.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of unrealistic. You have to go with the smaller companies, but you don't have to sell yourself short. They're small companies that are willing to pay what the service is worth.
Yes, of course.
And just focusing on recurring revenue. That's a big one too.
Yes, love that. Of course. All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the Fast Five. So, first question for you, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I've read quite a few, but I would say the first book that ever made a big impact, the very first book, and looking back on it now, it's not that great of a book, but when at the time I read it, it was Grant Cardone's 10X book.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that definitely motivates you more than anything.
Yeah, and it shifts your mindset from, you know, being a person that's looking to blame everything else why things aren't going right to just kind of take everything in your own hands and push yourself to do things. And it did that for me.
Yeah. And I think it also gets you thinking, you know, how can I be doing things more efficiently too? You know, just basically just pushing yourself and just upping your overall game.
Yeah, exactly. So I think as a early on entrepreneur, I think it's a great book to kind of get you started.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Well, it's not the same every time. I would like for it to be consistent. But when I'm doing at my best, you know, I'd wake up around 5 a.m. I'd write down some of the goals and things like that, some of the things I've achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And I skip this one a lot. The writing of goals, I skip it a lot. I wish I was doing it every day. But when I do it, it kind of gives you a little bit of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you definitely got to hit the gym. So I hit the gym every morning around, you know, 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts you in the right mind state, kind of prepares you for any difficulty and challenges you might have throughout the day. And it makes you handle those much better. So I definitely go to the gym in the morning. And I kind of try to take care of myself first. You know what I mean? Wake up early, have my coffee, write down my goals, go to the gym, and then I'm ready to take on the day. If I don't do those things, my motivation, my patience with things is definitely decreased.
Yes, I know. Just exercise in the morning, I think, it's one of the single most powerful things I think you can do for yourself, you know, for anyone, not just entrepreneurs. But yeah, it's just so healthy. It just energizes you. And yeah, I think just that idea of, you know, pushing yourself steadily, it helps you to get through challenging times as well. Because, you know, like when you push yourself through a difficult workout, you know, you're able to translate that same mindset towards difficult situations that you're encountering in business.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, I'm not naturally a morning person, and I'm not naturally an athlete or a gym person. I started doing these things in my late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I knew I had to do it in order to succeed at anything in life. I knew I had to do it. Staying up late, waking up late, not going to the gym, it didn't help me. It was, you know what I mean? You get down the wrong path that way.
Yeah. Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's a few. There's none in particular, really. Any CEO or entrepreneur that I come across that's motivational or has lessons that I can learn from, I always I gravitate towards them, but I wouldn't say there's any in particular.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
Well, I'd say WordPress, because without WordPress, we wouldn't be building any websites.
yep.
See, we use a few online tools, and they're all part of a vital system, right? But I would say WordPress is definitely one of the main ones. And then HubSpot. HubSpot's the CRM we use, and I've tried a whole bunch of others, and we always come back to it just because it's simple. It's complicated, but it's simple. Once you get the hang of it, it's quite simple and it does what we need to do.
Yeah, I love HubSpot. It's so awesome. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Good question. Focusing on recurring revenue.
Good answer. I like that.
Because now, you know, we're almost like 5 years deep and I didn't start focusing because it's mostly web design. SEO, we didn't start doing SEO until later on. So it was web design. And as you know, once you finish a website, it's done. If you're not hosting and maintaining it, then that's it. You're on to finding the next website job. And that was the way we did it for the first 3 or so years. Only in the last couple of years, I started actually hosting and maintaining those websites and selling maintenance packages and SEO. And it's changed everything, right? Like it, you don't have to worry about maybe next month we'll have zero sales. Because I know now for sure we're going to have this much in sales every month because this is our recurring clients.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And like you said, you know, so many agency owners, they don't focus on that recurring revenue right from the start. But, you know, if you started earlier really focusing on that, it'll just really help grow your agency over time.
Definitely. And avoids and it allows you to avoid burnout because in the first 3 years, you know, you go through 1 month, you're doing 20, 30 grand. Then the next month you're doing three.
Yeah.
And then you're stressed out. You have too much work. You can't hire people. Like it's just so you're creating so many problems for yourself. Whereas if you focus on the recurring revenue, now you can hire people because you have enough steady income that, you know, you can guarantee people's jobs.
And yeah. It'll create also that allows stability.
Yeah, and it allows you not to get too stressed out when your sales are down because you have enough, you know, your recurring is there, so you're going to get by. And then it also allows you to take a break. When you need to take a break, you say, okay, I'm not going to do as many sales. We're not going to work this so hard because we're good. We have enough recurring. We can take it easy for a couple of weeks and you know, recharge and then go hard at it again.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for today's episode, Nick. It was a pleasure to learn about you and your journey of growing your agency. So thank you again for joining me.
Thank you as well, Julia. It was a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And we'll see you next time.